Marty Lurie here on KMBR 680, one of the good guys, one of the black aces, a 20-game winner, and that is Mudcat Grant, wonderful Major League pitcher. How are you doing?
Not bad for old stepper, I usually say.
Original team, the Cleveland Indians. Why the Cleveland Indians? You had a lot of choices.
Well, you know, there was no draft back in those days, so it was pretty much scouts looking for sandlot ball players or looking for ball players that weren't going to be drafted. It was 10 years later. So I was approached by the Cleveland Indians scout. In fact, Fred Merkel recommended me to the Cleveland Indians because he was an umpire for a tournament for some young black kids, and I got to know him and his wife, and he recommended me, so that's why it was the Cleveland Indians that I signed with.
Wow. Now, are we talking Fred Merkel, who didn't touch second base?
That's right. That's who we are talking about. And, I mean, he was a wonderful man, and his wife was great. She fed me a few times, and that was the best thing ever happened to me at that time. Yeah, that's the Fred Merkel I'm talking about.
All right. Mudcat Grant is with us. I didn't know that. Very good. Hey, growing up, though, what was baseball like for you where you grew up? Negro leagues that maybe you followed, or Jackie Robinson coming in, and 1954, so many other African-American players came in. What was it like for you?
Well, I was about 9 years old or 10 years old when Jackie signed. And I was carrying a newspaper at that time, the Pittsburgh Courier. I had to walk a mile to get the newspapers because being a little southern town, we didn't have newspapers, so the papers was bought in by Greyhound, and I would go, would walk a mile, get the paper, bring them back to the little lumber mill town where I was born. And when I read the paper before I got back to the little town, but Jackie signed, that was all I was saying around town. And lo and behold, about 8 weeks later, 6 to 8 weeks later, Larry Doby signed. So I bought that newspaper again around. That's how I found out. Of course, we had radios at that time. We didn't have television, but we had radios. Then lo and behold, a little bit later on, I got a chance to meet Larry Doby. And Jackie was very busy. They were barnstorming back in those days, the old Negro League players and the major leaguers that had just signed. They were barnstorming. And I remember I tried to shake Jackie's hand, and Jackie was real busy because he was responsible for the tour of Negro League players. So Larry Dover told me, he says, young man, he says, Mr. Robinson is busy, but if you want me to shake your hand, I will do that. And that's how I met Larry Doby.
Oh, I love it. Mudcat Grant, boy, great to have you on. What town did you grow up in?
La Cucci, Florida. It's outside of Tampa. A big town, the population about 175.
And how did you get the nickname Mudcat?
Well, when I finally went into the minor leagues, they thought that I was from Mississippi, because back in them days they thought all black folks were from Mississippi. Because they thought that I was from Mississippi, they started calling me Mississippi Mudcat, because the fish Mudcat is from the Mississippi River. And it stuck. That's how I got the nickname.
Because your brother made it up, Julius Swampfire Grant. How'd he get that one?
Well, notorious Mr. Frank Lane, he thought that my brother should have a nickname of his own. Now, where he got Swampfire from, I don't know. But we were happy that he signed also with the Cleveland Indians minor leagues. So, but that's how he got the name, because Frank Lane thought that he should have his own nickname.
Boy, Mudcat Grant, you're a very special man in baseball history. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You were there, I guess, when Rocky Colavito got traded for Harvey Keene after leaving, I think, Memphis on the way back to Cleveland.
That's right. And it was a sad day because Rocky was a wonderful man. There's no doubt about it. And he was a good friend. And that same day that Rocky got traded, Herbie Score got traded also down there in Memphis. So we lost two, you know, ball players that we all loved. And I remember that because it was a very sad day because you didn't get traded that much, especially stars like Rocky Colavita and Herbie Score. But, yeah, I remember that day in Memphis when those guys were traded.
Well, if that wasn't weird enough, Frank Lane traded his manager later in the year. How about that? Jimmy Dykes for Jack Tide.
I remember that. You know, Frank Sinatra sung a song called That's Life. And some of the lyrics in That's Life is that some people get their kicks from stepping on dreams. That was Frank Lane. He stepped on dreams, traded people. I hate to say this, but he was the worst general manager that I ever played for.
Oh, yeah, I believe you. Hey, Mudcat, Minnie Minoso passed away this year and recently, of course, and you pitched against him. Tell us about Minnie Minoso. He did become a Cleveland Indian for a couple of years when the White Sox won the pennant.
That's right. That's right. Minnie also was one of those guys, you know, that you love being around. Not only in this country, but also in Cuba. I love Cuban music, and Manny used to take me out and listen to some of the great Cuban entertainers like Celia Cruz, Benny Moray, I miss him already, you know, and he was a super teammate, but then he could play the game. Manny could run, he could hit. He could throw, he could feel. We lost Ernie Banks, but we lost Manny Minoso, we lost Harmon Killebrew. So we, over a few years now, we've lost some good people.
Well, let's talk about Ernie Banks just for a second. You pitched against Ernie Banks in the National League as well. I see film of him, I remember him. But boy, you see the wrists. I mean, that ball would be almost past him, and those wrists would come around, and the ball would be a line drive somewhere.
We all used to marvel at how Ernie could wrist the ball. Of course, back in those days, we didn't call it wristing it out. But you were afraid to throw the ball inside because he could wrist the ball inside out of there. And I hated pitching to him in that ballpark. You know, that we used to have a saying that when we got into Chicago, we would check the way the wind was blowing. Because we knew if we faced Ernie, he was going to do something with the ball. But more than that, he was really way more than the game itself. All of us that played the game, we loved to play the game all right. But it wasn't like Ernie. Ernie was something a little bit different, a little bit special, because he made you love the game. Of course, we talk about him all the time, you know, Ernie Banks. But what a ball player he was, but what a guy, what a man he was.
World Series against the Dodgers, you had a great World Series. What a thrill for you.
This is the 50th anniversary of the 65 World Series. But, you know, I call it a doubleheader because the 50th anniversary brings about the anniversary of the Civil Rights Bill when it was passed. And of course, Vice President Humphrey had a lot to do with that. I just talked to Steve Garvey. He hit a home run off me in that World Series. You know, and I kid him all the time. You know, it was a spitter that didn't move.
Well, you pitched three games, didn't you?
I pitched three games. I lost one, and I won two. And I hit a three-run homer in that game. I hit a double, and I hit a single in that World Series. You know, but it was wonderful. My mom was in the stand, and that was great. You know, also. So it was a wonderful time.
Yeah. Well, it's 20-game winner, too, Mudcat Grant. Mud, thanks so much for being on. Always a pleasure to see you. I get a kick out of it, and I say again, You're one of the important people in baseball history.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.